time next time.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Hey, I love your pastor. He's got a great spirit, doesn't he? I praise God for Pastor Walsh and just really enjoyed getting to know him. If you got your Bible, raise it up high. Right, wave it back and forth. You just waved it in the devil's face, okay? Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And as you're turning, if you can do two things at once, if you went to the conference Friday night or Saturday or both, I'd like to have you stand. If you went to the family conference, stand up. Wow, let's give these people a hand. They had to, amen, they had to sit and listen to me for hours. Okay, thank you very much. We had a great time, really enjoyed it. But I have to tell you, yesterday afternoon was just really a treat for me. And you, church, would have been absolutely thrilled by Nathan's ordination. And I'll tell you what I loved about Nathan's ordination. I love Nathan's thinking. I love Nathan's opinions. I love Nathan's thoughts. I love Nathan's ideas. We're amazing. Amen? That wasn't anything I cared about at all. What I loved was Nathan's knowledge of the Word of God. Because I could really care less about Nathan's opinions, though he's got a lot of them. I could really care less about Nathan's ideas about something. We confirmed what God had already done in Nathan's life. By the way, a church doesn't ordain a person, God does. A church just recognizes it. We were a council representing your church, and we confirmed in our hearts what God has already done. But the thing that amazed me about yesterday's ordination wasn't, but oh, Nathan's just got a real intellectual mind. Boy, Nathan's got some great ideas about ministry. No. What impressed me yesterday was Nathan's knowledge of the Word of God. It wasn't when he answered a question, we weren't thinking, okay, now, what's his opinion on this? I could care less about a Nathan's opinion. What I want to know is, what he believes, can he back it with the Word of God? Because it's all about the Scriptures, and it's all about the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, Lighthouse Baptist. You ought to be thankful to have a young man that knows how to use, study, and apply God's Word. And that was the thing that impressed my heart the most, was just how the Word of God flowed from his answers, supporting what he believes. Because that's what we all looked for yesterday. Does this man know what this book says? And I got to tell you, Nathan had a great handle of God's Word. It made me think about the importance of God's Word. And today, we're going to have, this morning in Sunday school, a Simchat Torah. You excited about that? Well, Marilee and I had the opportunity to live in Israel for about 5 months. And when we were living in Israel, there was one night, a bunch of the team that was with us, because we lived right on a kibbutz, and we worked with Israelis, kibbutzniks, and to tell them about and witness to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Yeshua HaMashiach, to tell them about the Messiah. But one night, a bunch of us grew, our group was called Baptist. We didn't go as Christians because the idea of Christianity in Israel is terrible. So we went as a Baptist, and they would say, "What's a Baptist?" And then we'd give them our personal testimony of knowing the Yeshua HaMashiach. So a group of us Baptists got together, and we loaded a bunch of vans, and we drove about an hour and a half away in the middle of kind of nowhere. It would be the West Bank today. It was kind of like the middle of nowhere, and we drove down a dirt road, and we came up to this building that was a synagogue. And there were cars parked all around. I mean, this synagogue was in the middle of nowhere. But there were cars parked all around it. And we could hear the music when we drove up. And when we got in, whoa, what a celebration. Now, along with the women, we had to go up top on the top balcony and look down on this synagogue. But down below were all these Jews carrying a Torah. And they were carrying the Torah around, and they were dancing, and they were celebrating. And it was called Simchat Torah, the celebration of the Torah, of the Word of God. And they have this celebration every year. And it's the celebration that God gave us His Word. You know what I believe, Pastor? I believe our independent fundamental Baptist churches once in a while could have a Simchat Torah. I think we ought to celebrate God's Word. Yesterday, we saw a young man handle God's Word so well that it just touched my heart that I said, you know what I'm going to do in Sunday school today? I got another message already for Sunday morning. But I thought today we would just celebrate the Word of God. I want to talk to you today about the power of the Scriptures. I want to talk to you real quickly about the proof of the Scriptures. And then I want to talk to you about the promises from the Scriptures. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll begin reading at verse 15. I'll read these three verses. We'll have a word of prayer. And let's have a Simchat Torah today. I think ordaining tonight Nathan to the gospel preaching ministry, I think basically tonight we are celebrating a young man that God's call is upon, and that's handling the Scriptures so we get more truth out there, and we're thankful for that. So I just thought today, after hearing the ordination last night or yesterday afternoon, I just said, you know what, Lord? I just want to celebrate God's Word today and what it means to all of us as believers. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, you know what? Out of respect and honor for God's Word today, let's stand to our feet. And that's what they did at Simchat Torah. When they read the Torah, they would stand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me begin reading at verse 15. And that from a, everyone together, what's the next word? And that from a child. Let me tell you about that word. That's a really cool word. Because that word, the King James translators translate a little bit different in the Gospel of Luke. There is a woman that is great with child, and a lady named Mary comes sees her cousin Elizabeth. And Mary is going to tell Elizabeth that she is expecting the Yeshua HaMashiach, that she's expecting the Messiah. At which time, when she tells Elizabeth that she is going to have the Messiah, something happens with Elizabeth. Anyone know? The what? The babe what? Leaped. The babe leaped. The babe jumped. The word babe is the exact word for child here, which is interesting because if Nathan gives his testimony tonight, Nathan, what did you say yesterday, your testimony? You heard the Word of God. You started hearing God's Word when, Nathan? Yeah, before you even understood it. Can I tell you this? You've been in the church so long, you heard the Word of God while you were still a babe in the womb. And I think that's what this, I think Paul's referring to Timothy. He says that, and that from a babe in the womb, that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. A lot of times, I've had people ask me, over the years, when should you start teaching children the Word of God? You know what my answer is? When they're in the womb, start quoting them Scripture, amen. And that from a babe in the womb, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Which is kind of interesting. Brother Schiller, are we ever going to get to sit down? Yeah, not for a while, that's okay. That from the Holy Scriptures. Now, did Timothy ever see the originals? Timothy never saw the originals. He saw copies of 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 copies. But isn't it interesting? Paul calls those copies of 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 copies. He calls those the Holy Scriptures. You know what that shows? Preservation, okay? So anyways, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are, now this is going to be a key word for our first point, which are, everyone together, what's the next word? Able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. When we bought our house in Lancaster, we got to thoroughly furnish it. We put all kinds of stuff in it to make it complete, to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, I pray today that as we celebrate the Word of God, that we would celebrate the power of God's Word, that we would celebrate the proof that it is your Scriptures, and that we would celebrate the promises that we would hold on to with all of our heart. Father, today, even though we're ordaining a young man, what are we ordaining him to, Father, but for the preaching of the Word of God? So, Father, thank you for a church that appreciates, loves, and today may we celebrate in this Sunday school hour the Scriptures. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Number one, the power of the Scriptures. Okay, so everyone, look with me at that word, able, which are able. Now, the Greek word for that is a word that so often I think is not misrepresented, but just kind of maybe a little bit misunderstood. The Greek word there is the word dynamo or dynamos. We get the word dynamite from that. Whenever we think of dynamite, we think of something explosive and something powerful. I like the power idea. I don't like the explosive idea. I love how the King James translators translate this word right there, which are able. Because I think the power is an enablement. Since you're in 2 Timothy, just turn back a page to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We see the word again. 2 Timothy 1, 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of, everyone together, power. But of power. And that's in a love and of a sound mind. The word power there is the same word for able. Now look what the Bible is powerful to do. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, which are powerful to make thee wise unto salvation. The first thing the Scriptures are powerful to do is to convert the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, this is really good because some of us have different personalities. And some of us witness different ways, and some of us know different techniques about witnessing. But can I tell you something? You know how somebody gets saved? Yes, by the personality of the person witnessing. No, it's not by your person. By the illustration. No, it's not by illustrations. You know how people get saved? They get saved by the Word of God. So the only thing that you have to do, you need to make sure that when you're witnessing to someone, you give them what? The Scriptures. You give them God's Word. Because the Word of God is powerful to convert. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I was teaching 10th grade Bible doctrines years ago, and there was a young lady that moved down to Pensacola. She was staying with her Uncle Tim. Her name was Stephanie. And Stephanie was an extremely worldly girl from Minnesota when she arrived. Her dress, just her speech, everything about her was very carnal and very worldly. I mean, when you walked in a room and you saw Stephanie, you went like, whoa. you just go like, wow, that is not probably the most godly girl in the world, you know. I can't judge why she's what she is, but I can judge what she looks like. And so she joined our youth group, and she was in my 10th grade Bible class. Well, she could care less about the things of the Word of God. She was interested in some of the boys in the class, but she wasn't interested in the Scriptures. We came to the midterm. Now, the first 9 weeks was basically memorizing the Romans Road. Stephanie did not show up for midterms, and I know why. She said she was sick. She wasn't sick. She wasn't ready to take her test or her Bible memorization work. So she missed. So I called her up, and I said, Stephanie. And I knew Stephanie wasn't saved. I was so glad she was in Bible doctrines class. I couldn't wait till I got to soteriology to talk about salvation. But by midterm, we were still on bibliology and theology. But we were memorizing the Romans Road. So I said, Stephanie, you need to memorize those verses, and you are taking your test when you get back tomorrow. And she said, okay, Pastor Scheller, okay. So the next day, she came into study hall. I gave the librarian, Mrs. Fouts, the scriptures that Stephanie had to do for her test. It was the Romans Road. The first verse she had to memorize was Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Then I gave her Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the next verse she had to write out was Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The next verse she had to write out was Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I ended with Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I gave her her exam. About 45 minutes later, Mrs. Fouts, the librarian, calls up. Pastor Scheller, yes. Can Stephanie come over and see you? I said, is she done with the test? Well, I don't know if she's done with the test, but she's got about 4 ounces of makeup on the desk. She's bawling like crazy, and her eye, she's just dripping with makeup, and she's crying like crazy, and she wants to talk to you. And I said, send her over. Well, sure enough, she came in, and I mean, she was a complete makeup mess. I mean, it was just, I just remembered it. It was just dripping down from her face, and she'd been crying like crazy. And she said, I said, what's wrong, Stephanie? I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I said, Stephanie, praise the Lord. So right there in our room, in my office, Stephanie prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. I asked her later, Stephanie, why did you think you needed to get saved? The verses. The verses. I said, what verses? She says, there's none righteous, no, not one. She said, that's me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. She said, the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is. And she starts quoting me the Romans Road. I had been witnessing to her. Her uncle Tim had been witnessing to her. She'd been hearing the gospel. But do you know what did it? You know what converted her soul? The Word of God. Here was a girl that was deep into the world, but she got saved. And you know how she got saved? The power of the Scriptures. Hey, let me tell you something. You say, you know, Brother Scheller, I'm not a great witnesser. I'm not real personable like other people. You don't need to be personable. You need to know the Scriptures. And by the way, when you give your testimony, if today I said, hey, let's stand and give testimony of how we got saved, when we got saved, that whatever, give me your salvation testimony. Most people, when they give their testimony, give a historical record of when they got saved, but they don't give the gospel. Now, let me tell you something. You ever get a chance to give your salvation testimony. Okay, you can give us a little historical record. I was in Awana. It was a night they had hot dogs, and I was getting a little award or whatever. Okay, that's all fine. You can give your little story of when you got saved. But the important thing about your salvation isn't the historical record. It's the gospel. So put the gospel in your testimony. How many times have I heard somebody give a salvation testimony only never to hear the gospel? It is the power of the scriptures that converts a soul. Number two, under power. The power of the scriptures to convert. Number two, the power of the scriptures to counsel. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you have a major decision to make in your life, if you have any decisions trying to find God's will for your life, you ought to let God's word be your guide. I can stand here and tell you today, I have never made a major decision in my life that I didn't have scripture to back up that decision, to show me and to guide me. And I did not make the scriptures. I didn't make the scripture. Okay, I got to find the Bible. I got to find something that goes with what I want to do. I let the scriptures guide me. And I will tell you, the Bible is powerful not only to convert, the Bible is powerful to counsel. If you've got a major decision, talk to preacher. That's a good thing. Talk to your parents if you're a young person. Go to a godly person. Have a multitude of counselors. But ultimately, make sure you get your guidance from the Word of God. Do you have a scripture passage to back what you're saying? That's what we tested Nathan on. By the way, it would do us good to all go through an examination of what we believe. You know, I was thinking as Nathan was answering questions yesterday, we were asking him questions about what he believes, and then he would bring it back to the scriptures. We should not make a decision in our life that we cannot back with the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The scriptures are powerful to convert. The scriptures are powerful to counsel. But I tell you the thing that's amazing to me. The scriptures are powerful to change. Nothing can change a person's life like the Word of God. Look at verse 16 if you would. All scripture is given by God breathed, inspiration of God. And it's profitable for four things. Did you ever see this before? It's profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof. That's what's wrong. For correction. That's how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness. That's how to keep it right. Okay, so what is God's word sufficient for? See, I believe the word of God is all you need. I teach a class at college called Introduction to Biblical Counseling. The first day of class, we always find out the definition of biblical counseling. And then I ask them every day in class for the rest of the semester. It gets fun sometimes, because sometimes I'll ask it halfway through the class like, he forgot to ask. I didn't forget to ask. I just put it in different. Sometimes we have all the girls say it. Sometimes we have all the guys say it. Sometimes we all stand and say it. Sometimes we say it slow. Sometimes we say it high. But what we do every day in Introduction to Biblical Counseling, we give the definition of biblical counseling. Here it is. Biblical counseling. What is counseling? Changing behavior biblically. Changing behavior biblically. The whole purpose of counseling is to see someone change their behavior biblically. Now I'm going to tell you something. The world's counseling is to stay in sin, don't call it sin, and try to get away with guilt and try to pacify your guilt. Biblical counseling is to change behavior biblically. So what we're trying to do is see change. Now notice what God's word does. It's number one, profitable for, what's it say? Everyone together, it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. Boy, Nathan, we heard some doctrine yesterday, didn't we? Nathan gave one doctrinal, that's what's right. We found out what he believes is right. What does God's word say about this? What does God's word say about this? What is God's, that doctrine is what is right. Number two is reproof. Reproof is about what is wrong. The Bible will tell you what's wrong about your life. The Bible will reprove you, and that's important because that's what changes you. Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is what is wrong. Correction is how to get it right. And then I love this. I think this is a missing note in a lot of preaching today. Instruction in righteousness. Those are the steps how to keep it right. You see, after I learn, oh, that's right, that's wrong, I'm not doing that in my life. I need to repent. I need to get this right. But then how do I keep it right? Instruction in righteousness. I teach homiletics 3 at the college as well. That's teaching preachers how to preach. One of the things I'm big on is, hey, don't just tell your congregation what's right. Don't just tell your congregation what's wrong. Don't just tell your congregation to get it right. Teach your people the steps to keep it right. Instruction in righteousness is how to live the Christian life. But notice God's word is profitable for all three things. The power of the scriptures to convert, the power of the scriptures to counsel, and the power of the scriptures to change. Number two, today let's have a Simchat Torah to celebrate the power of the scriptures, but number two, to celebrate the proof of the scriptures. I love this. We know we have a sure word. I believe there's five reasons why we know we got a sure word. Number one, the Bible claims it. The Bible says it's the word of God. Now, some of you go like, well, Brother Shiloh, that's not the biggest argument. That's kind of like circular reasoning. So the Bible says it is God's word. Well, it is important that it says it's God's word, because by saying it's God's word, it then now puts itself on the judgment. Either it is the Bible or it is not the Bible. You can't just say, well, it's got some good teachings in it. No. It's either a book of lies or it's a book of truth, because the Bible claims to be the word of God. But there's other proofs too. History and time reveal it. The Bible claims it, but history and time reveal it. I wish we had time today to look at archaeology. But the more the shovel goes in the ground to dig up, it more proves the word of God. There are so many historical, archaeological proofs of God's word. Don't have time for those today, but if you ever want to hear them, I'd be more than happy to tell you. History and time reveal the word of God. Number three, science agrees with it. The Bible claims it. History and time reveal it, and science agrees with it. We heard this yesterday. This is not a science book. But wherever it talks about scientific truth, it is true. The Bible, the science has never disagreed with the word of God. By the way, as they do more research about this whole thing about pro-life, they're going to find life begins at conception, because the Bible teaches it, and they're going to find scientifically, you know when life begins? Life begins at conception. You know what? A Christian never has to back down on the word of God. The more science discovers, the more they're going to find that science agrees with the word of God. The next one I love. Maybe one of the greatest proofs of God's word. Fulfilled prophecy confirms it. History and time reveal it. The Bible claims it. Science agrees with it. But I want to tell you something. Fulfilled prophecy confirms it. Did you know that there were 232 prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled perfectly? The week before Easter, I always like to read the Passion Week. So starting at the triumphal entry, every year for the last 20, 25 years, I've read the whole week of Christ in the four Gospels leading up to his crucifixion and the resurrection. I love doing that. This year, the thing that impressed me was these words. According to the scriptures. And this was done to fulfill the scriptures. According to the scriptures. And this was accomplished that the scriptures may be fulfilled. It was amazing to me, Pastor, how many things that happened, whether it was the selling of the garment, whether it was the plucking of the beard, whether it was the scourging, whether it was the entering into Jerusalem, everything was according to the scriptures, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. Can I tell you one of the greatest proofs of God's word is fulfilled scriptures? And because the scriptures have been fulfilled, we can count on it for the future as well. Okay, Brother Shetler, we're having a Simchat Torah today. Yeah, we are. We're celebrating the word of God. Yeah, we're celebrating the power of the scriptures. We're celebrating the proof of the scriptures. The Bible claims it. History and time reveal it. Science agrees with it. Fulfilled prophecy confirms it. But can I give you the greatest proof of the word of God? Changed lives prove it. The greatest proof of the word of God is what it's done in people's lives. Let's say today, my brother over here. What is your name? Joe, that's right. Joe, good to see you today. Good having you with us today. Let's say at the end of this meeting, at the end of Sunday school, Joe raised his hand. And Joe said, hey, Brother Shetler, Pastor, would it be okay if I just gave a word of testimony? Something happened yesterday. Could I just give a word of testimony? Well, we said, yeah, well, sure, Joe, go ahead. Joe says, I was in the kitchen yesterday. You're married, right, Joe? Joe says, I was in the kitchen yesterday, and my wife was making some chili. And I didn't notice it, but I walked in the kitchen. And when I walked in the kitchen, she had dumped over a can of stewed tomatoes on the floor. And she hadn't completely had time to clean them up. And when I walked in the kitchen, I stepped on one of the stewed tomatoes. Lighthouse Baptist Church, I just want to tell you, since yesterday afternoon, when I stepped on that stewed tomato, my life hasn't been the same. I've had a peace. I've had a joy. I've had what I've looked for all of my life. And I stepped on that stewed tomato. And when I stepped on that stewed tomato, I'm telling you, my life has been changed since last night. Well, about that time, Pastor would probably stand up and say, well, thank you, Joe. Good. Have a seat. Whoa. And about that time, what is your name, my brother? Charlie? Charlie raises his hand. Y'all know Charlie? Charlie raises his hand and says, Pastor, may I give a word of testimony? And Pastor says, by all means, Charlie, say something. After, sit down, Joe. Charlie, say something. Charlie gets up and says, hey, I don't know if you guys have ever heard my testimony or not, and I've never really told many people this, but when I was a young kid, we had a garden, and my mom raised tomatoes. And when I was 7 years old, my mom told me to go pick some tomatoes. And I went out in the garden to pick some tomatoes, and I didn't notice, but some of the tomatoes had rotten, and they had fallen on the ground. And when I stepped on that rotten tomato, Joe, I know what you're talking about. When I was a seven-year-old boy, it happened to me. I tell you, I stepped on that tomato in that garden, and my life was changed. Now, some of you are going, like, this is the stupidest thing in the world. And about that time, what's your name back there in the black shirt? Yeah, your name. Matthew. Matthew raises his hand. And Matthew says, can I give a word of testimony? And we go like, yeah, why not, man? Everyone else is. And Matthew stands up and he says this. He says, you know what? When I was a kid, my mom was in the grocery store and I was with her. And we were in the produce section. And as we were going through the produce section, we were walking by the tomatoes. And one of the tomatoes had fallen off and it was on the floor in the produce section. I didn't notice it. And as we were walking by, I stepped on that tomato. Charlie, I know what you're talking about. Joe, I experienced when I was 12 years of age. I stepped on a tomato in a grocery store, and my life has never been the same since. Now, every one of you would go, okay, this is the stupidest, craziest thing in the world. But I'll tell you what. If you didn't sometime this week all by yourself just throw a tomato on the ground and go like, I got to see if this is true or not. Now, I want to share this with you, Lighthouse. Nobody has ever been changed by stepping on a tomato. And yet, if you gave testimony of person after person, you would go, and you look in American history, and you found out there was a time when George Washington was little, he stepped on a stewed tomato, and you started reading about our forefathers. You say, Brother Shetler, none of that's true. That's absolutely correct. But I will tell you, thousands of people, no, millions of people that have been changed by this book. They have read this book, and this book has changed their life. Let me tell you, today we celebrate the Word of God because of the power of the Scriptures, because of the proof of the Scriptures. But let me give you one more and we're done. Because of the promises from the Scriptures. If you've never claimed a promise of Scripture, I feel bad for you. Matter of fact, you really couldn't be saved. Because you got, in order to be saved, you got to claim a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I believe you. I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. You couldn't get saved without claiming a promise. But I think one of the greatest joys of the Christian life are the promises of Scripture. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 41. Now, there's a lot of promises I could stand and tell you today. And this morning, I was struggling on which promise should I give them. I believe that I look back over my life, I think the greatest joys that I've ever had are claiming the promises of Scripture. That I've said, God, this is a promise that I'm going to claim. Let me tell you about what happened years ago. I have three sons, Ben, Luke, and Drew. They're all in the ministry. Drew is our youngest son. And when he was 14 months old, Drew contracted an illness, a virus called a rotavirus. Never heard of it before in my entire life. We don't know where he got it or whatever. But Drew started getting very sick. He couldn't hold down anything, liquids or food. He was starting to dehydrate. And after a few days, we had to take Drew into the hospital. He was then diagnosed with this rotavirus. They had to put an IV in him, and he had to get hydrated. Well, this went on for 10 days. After 10 days, they saw a little bit of improvement, and they said, you can take Drew home. We brought Drew home. We brought the deacons over. They anointed him with oil. We prayed over him. And Drew got worse. Drew got worse. And after about 2 days, we knew we had to take Drew back in. Now, my wife had been with Drew all 10 days in the hospital. This woman was totally worn out. The night that we knew that we had, Marilee and I said, well, we got to take Drew back in. I told Marilee, you're staying at home. She says, I'm coming. I said, no, Marilee, you got to get some rest. You have gone 10, actually it had been 13 days because the 3 days back at home were just terrible. Marilee was, I said, no, you're staying home. Jim, I'm going to, I said, no, and I'm going to tell you another reason. I didn't tell her right then. I knew because he had so dehydrated, they weren't going to be able to find a vein to put the IV in, and it was just going to be terrible, and it was. So I told Marilee, Marilee, you stay here, and I took Drew back into Sacred Heart Hospital. That night, they strapped him to a board. He's a 14-month-old little kid. They strapped him to a board, and they started poking. And they tried to find a vein to put the IV in. And that little baby, that little boy's just screaming. I felt like God, the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, he cried out, Daddy, Daddy. He was just crying out. Finally, they got an IV in him. I said, oh, Lord, why is this happening? Sacred Heart was under construction in the pediatric area, and they took him into a room that had just been built. And the room had I call it a cage, but it was a crib with a pull-up thing, and it was high. It looked like a cage to me. And then it had a nightstand. There was no chairs. There was nothing in the room. It's a brand-new room, but there was nothing in it except for this bed cage and this nightstand. It was probably about 12 o'clock by the time we got into the room, and little Drew was sleeping now, and he had the IV in him. And I just walked around the room. There was no place to sit. And I walked around the room, and I said, God, why? And then you start, you know how that goes. You start thinking bad things, you know. And I started walking around the room, and I said, God, you're going to take my boy, aren't you? Drew's going to die. Drew's not going to make it. God, Drew's going to die. And I just walked around. And I said, God, I got gotta, oh, I didn't bring my Bible. I'd forgotten my Bible and everything. And I thought, the nightstand. Gideon Bible. So I start opening up every drawer. I open up every drawer. Bottom drawer. I open it up. There it is. I looked out. I picked it up. Book of Mormon. That ain't going to work. I threw it back in, but I noticed way underneath there was a little light blue Bible. Gideon, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. I said, thank you, Lord. I got sat down Indian style on the floor at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I just started reading the Psalms. I just started reading the Psalms. And I cried, and I said, God, you're going to take my son. Pastor, that night in Sacred Heart, I got to Psalm 41, and I read verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And I read that verse, and I said, God, your word says the Lord will strengthen Drew upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all Drew's bed in his sickness. I didn't mean this disrespectful. I really didn't. But I said, God, do it. Your word says it right there, Psalm 41:3. And I claim Psalm 41:3. Probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, Sacred Heart Hospital, I said, God, that's my promise. Do you know within a couple days, Drew had gotten better. Drew was able to come home. And it was about a week or so many things had happened. It was about a week or so later, Marilee and I were sitting in the family room. And I just, you know, it's just one of those things with everything happened, you just never had time to talk. And I finally asked her, I said, hey, Marilee, by the way, I've been wanting to ask you, when did you believe, I was going to tell her about Psalm 41, I hadn't told her yet. I said, when did you believe that that Drew was going to be healed? Jim, we haven't had a chance to talk, have we? I said, no. I said, when did you, Jim, wait a minute, I'm thinking, honey, I want to show you. Marilee goes back in her bedroom. She comes up with the Bible. She says, Jim, I got to show you something. You know the night that you took Drew in and I wanted to go? Yeah, I want to tell you about that night. I want to share something. Yeah, Jim, look at this. That night, I couldn't sleep. You told me to go to sleep. I couldn't sleep. My son's in the hospital. So she said, Jim, I just got up and I just started reading. And I was reading in Psalms. And I'm thinking, yeah, me too. Can I show you? She said, just a minute, Jim. Yeah. Look at this, Jim. This was the verse God gave me, Psalm 41 and verse number 3. And I said, Marilee, are you kidding me? She said, no. Let me read it to you, Jim. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. And I said, Marilee, God gave me that same verse, that same night, probably at the same moment. God gave me that same verse to hold on to. Hey, today, let's have a Simchat Torah. Aren't you thankful for the power of the Scriptures? Aren't you thankful for the proof of the Scriptures? But I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for the promises of the Scriptures. And if you're going through something in your life, get a hold of this book. Nathan defended it well. Now, we all need to hold on to it tight and thank God for the Word of God that we have. Father, I pray that Lighthouse Baptist Church will always be a lighthouse of the Scriptures. Father, a young man defended his faith well yesterday, but my prayer is that all of us would love, appreciate, and desire the Word of God. Father, it is your Word. It's proof. Father, you claim it's your Word. Science agrees with it. Fulfilled prophecy confirms it. History and time reveal it. And changed lives prove it. God, it is profitable for what's right, for what's wrong, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. And Lord, may we hold on to the promises of your word. Father, I thank you over and over again that true success is found in meditating and doing the scriptures. May we not just be hearers of the word. Father, may we be doers of the scriptures. And that is something to celebrate. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.